Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing well. Certainly want to send my prayers out to all of those, to everyone that still have family members that are sick by COVID. I know I have a couple friends here in the Columbus area that are going through some things right now. I'm not going to call your name for identification purposes, but I know that you're listening because you listen every Sunday, and I just want to let you know that we are praying for you and for your recovery. You guys, this COVID thing is still serious now. I know we're seeing some numbers decrease, but the virus is still out there. And if we become careless, if we become reckless, the numbers will go back up. Something else we got to be mindful of is that we do have a couple variants now that are out there. You have the UK variant, the South African variant, and healthcare professionals saying there are now several variants that have established themselves here in the United States as well. So we want to make sure that we're very careful with that, because these variants, they seem to spread a lot easier and faster than the COVID that we were accustomed to. So they're thinking that they could lead to another round of sickness. As far as the vaccine is concerned, you know, vaccinations are still going on. Of course, you know, it's for people 65 and older and their caregivers and first responders and people working in the healthcare profession. Well, this past week, the governor did expand that a little. So now people that are pre-K through 12 educators and staff, you can now get the vaccine. That include teachers, that include administrators, that include our custodial workers, that include our engineers, that include our bus drivers, that include our lunchroom staff. If you work anywhere around the pre-K through 12 educational system, whether you're an educator or staff, you now qualify to get the vaccine. It is truly an honor to wrap up this year's Black History Month series with a phenomenal man himself, a glass ceiling shatterer, just someone who paved the way out of no way. He didn't pull on nobody coat's tails. He just kept marching on to see what the end was going to be, and he is still marching. Sheriff Greg Countryman, sir, I am glad to have you with me today. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fine, and thank you for those kind words. That means a whole lot to me. But I am doing fine today, and this is the day that the Lord has made, so we shall rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, sir, and I'm glad that you were appreciative of the kind words, but they were easy to say, because that's who you are, Sheriff Countryman. That's who you have been to so many people here in this local community, and you are Black history. You will forever be known in Muskogee County as the first person of color, the first African-American elected to the sheriff capacity. Take me back, Sheriff Countryman, to the night of that election, when the returns start coming in, and you and I, we were in the same vicinity. We were in the same room, same facility. You know, I have my take on it, but I want to hear yours. I want the listeners to hear yours. Take us back to that election night when the numbers start coming in, and it was becoming obviously clear that you were going to be our next sheriff. How did you feel?
It was a very surreal moment for me, Teddy. I was exhausted. I was happy. I had a lot of caring, you know, friends around me, but it was especially great for me because in the absence of my father passing away and my, you know, mother passing away, and they did not get to see this moment, but to share that moment with my 96-year-old grandmother, and my brother came down from Atlanta, my wife and children were there, all of my friends. It was a very genuine moment for me. I was not surprised about the outcome, because that was something that I had already prayed and asked God you know, if he would honor me with that. But I was just proud to be in the moment because I know what I, you know, I knew what I would bring to the table. But I was so proud of the community as well, because this wasn't just a Great Countryman moment. This was a Columbus moment. This was a Muskogee County moment, because everybody played a very significant role in this. And just for the, a lot of people don't know, but the public encouraged me so much during this whole election cycle, because they had watched me over the past 16 years as marshal. And so they knew my work in the community. But just to see the older generation come to me, and for me to look them in their eyes, and for them to look me in my eyes, and to almost see tears in their eyes for this moment, because this is something that they had been longing for a very, very long time. And so I'm just glad that, you know, I'm glad that the citizens entrusted me with their, you know, vote, their confidence and fidelity to allow me to be the person that they chose to serve in this office of sheriff. And so it was a very exciting moment. It was a very tender moment, and I was just glad that I had my wife, my family, and my sons with me. So that just made it a very exciting moment for me.
Well, you know, speaking of our seniors, I remember that night I had a very well-known, well-respected, well-engaged, and vocal senior in our community to say to me that, to them, this felt like a local moment for us, like when President Obama was elected to President of the United States. And I could totally relate to what she was saying to me, because for those individuals that were born and raised and grew up in this area, in this county, in Muskogee County, to them, this was a huge moment of significance. And so it's amazing. It was truly amazing. Now, you talk about family. I want to talk about family there for a second, because anybody who knows Greg Countryman, Sheriff Countryman, knows that he is big on family. He's not only big on blood family, but adopted family. You know, everyone sharing that love and care for each other. But I want to talk about your family, your amazing, beautiful wife, and your children, that many of your boys joined you along on the campaign trail. But your wife was so supportive as well, and just so nice to everybody, and just so engaged. How did it feel for you to have this moment with your family and for your family?
Well, you know, I don't think that anyone understands your pains and your struggles closer, you know, closer than your wife and your children. For the past 16 years, they have watched me go through so many things. But, you know, but what really excites me and my children, you know, bore witness to it, that throughout everything, that I've always remained faithful. That I would always, you know, even when my sons would want me to react a certain way, I would always go to the Bible, because even when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, you know, I call that a then moment, because if you look at where Jesus was baptized and when he was raised out of the water, a dove descended from heaven, and the voice of the Lord spoke, said that this is my son who I am proud of, and that I love and I approve. Then, if you go into the next Bible book of the Bible, that's where God sent him in to the wilderness to be tested. And so those are the then moments that I love to refer back to, that they can see struggle and they see faith and they see scripture and they see God, and for them to see up close how God and the Holy Spirit has moved. That, you know, that is a testimony that I always want my children, always want my wife to remember, because, you know, in order for us to be great in anything that we do, in order for us to, you know, move in faith, we have to be able to rely on God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and I've always taught them, I mean, they have seen me go through school, you know, over and over and over again up at night, and just relying on God. And so for them to see God move step by step over the 16 years to where there were, you know, to where nobody would imagine that I would come out of certain things. You know, God was always, he was always there. And I think that that was the most memorable moment that I will always cherish, knowing that my family saw my faith, knowing that they saw the move of the Holy, the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's something that I will never erase from my mind, in the chambers of my heart, because that meant so much more to me than just me winning. You know, just them seeing my faith and me standing on faith, and I think about people like Job, and you know, those are the type of moments that means so much to me, that people outside of my household that they may not see. But that's something that moves me every single day. And, you know, and my wife being a, you know, sound Christian, you know, wife and a sound Christian person, she has really helped me over the years to come to be the person that I am.
Amazing. I can sit back and listen to you all day talk about your family and the love for your family. And it's a different conversation, because you don't brag and boast like, you know, you guys are perfect, because nobody's perfect. But you accept each other for who you are, and you support each other in each other's efforts. And Sheriff Countryman, I know there's somebody else that's just like family to you, but he played a very pivotal role in your election, in helping you to become the black sheriff, the first sheriff of color here in Muskogee County. And to be honest with you, this guy here could be a Black History Month spotlight on his own, with everything that he did, from playing professional football to playing local football here in Columbus, and the things he have been engaged with community wise. He's the perfect example of someone reaching back to continue to make a difference, because and we're talking, of course, you figured out I'm talking about Mr. Mark, oh, yeah. Mark Johnson. Grant, what did Mark really mean to your campaign?
Oh, man, he meant everything to me. And right when the campaign was getting ready to, you know, to go full-fledged, I lost my father due to cancer. And I knew that it was going to be a very, very trying time for me. But Monk Johnson, it was like that God brought him in, and he saw the pain, he saw the worry, but he came in and he helped to, you know, take me from being one way and refocusing my direction. And, you know, he kept me busy. He's like a grandfather to my, you know, children. Mark Johnson is family. Mark Johnson is one of the most giving, honorable men, one of the most integral guys that I know. Him and his wife, Gwen, and they give so much to the community. He just helped to raise $8,500 for Spencer High School. He was up at my office yesterday, like you were saying, cooking fish, buffalo wings, and French fries for my, you know, deputies yesterday. He just does so much for the community, and I was so honored to see that they named the Spencer High School athletic complex after him.
Yes.
Because it was so deserving. But Monk Johnson brought a NFL experience, you know, to me, and everything that he did, it had to do with football. He just said, look, we're not going to let the other team outwork us. He was always the first one on the field. When I say the first one on the field, he was always the first one to set up the signs, the campaign things on Macon Road. He organized the campaign well, and he said during the primary, look, we're going to run up the points before halftime, which meant that we had to work hard, and we had to play good defense so that we would not let my opponent get beyond the 50-yard line. And so he said, once we can run up the points, and then we come back in the general election and we do the same thing and we just play good defense. And so everything was a good football analogy. And he is such an awesome man. He is someone that I really look up to a lot, and he's someone that I can talk to about personal things that maybe I can't talk to other people about, but he's one that will listen, and he's one that don't mind telling me what I don't want to hear. I don't always like being around yes people, but I like people that will challenge me. And so he's one that has challenged me. He's one that has helped me to grow in so many ways. And so I thank God for him bringing us together. But he is such a brilliant man. And I can't say enough about Monk Johnson. Monk Johnson is a living legend.
Yes, he is. Living legend is a perfect way to describe it. And of course, we're not going to forget about Miss Gwen. I got to mention her name too. Just all around amazing, amazing people. And Greg, I thank you for bringing me into the life of Mr. Johnson as well, Monk, because already he's been a big influence and a great supporter and an amazing advisor, I'm appreciative of that relationship as well. Greg, there's something else I want to cover with you real quick as well on our short time here together. Oftentimes on social media, you see me make posts and I like to use this hashtag generational bridge builder. And I like using that hashtag generational bridge builder because I feel that in our community, in order for us to be successful at tackling the problems that we have, the younger generation and our senior generation are going to have a coherent working relationship. Now, that's not a one-way street. That's a street where both sides respect each other and accept the fact that people are going to come to the table with different ideas, different strengths, different weaknesses, and things of that nature. Because I think part of the challenge that the younger people are looking at is the fact that the problems we have today are not the problems that existed 30 years ago. So because we are experiencing these problems firsthand in the work environment, and from a social justice perspective, from a criminal justice reform perspective, from a community development perspective, because we're looking at the things so differently, sometimes we just want someone to listen to us while we articulate the problems that we're having. Now, I bring this up, Greg, because one thing that I have noticed about you, let me call you Sheriff Country. One thing I've noticed about you, Sheriff Country, is that you have done a great job yourself at being able to have those open, unended, unrestricted, unsolicited conversations. They just come to you with the younger generation and the senior generation. Just like myself, I see you as one of those generational bridge builders. Greg, why did you find, how did you come to the conclusion that it was important that you be able to have those cross-generational communication skills, and how do you think that's going to help us moving forward?
Well, you know, when I took office as marshal, I was elected to office, and I was 38 years old. I was a millennial, and I know some of the things that I endured, even dealing with older leaders in the community. That I had ideas that I thought that would move, Columbus forward. They were not always heard. Even when I served as a, sheriff's deputy, I never held any rank, although that I had good ideas, but they fell on deaf ears. So I had to run for office myself in order to make some things change. Being that I can relate at the line level in the law enforcement arena, even going in office as a millennial, I understand the plight of the younger generation. And the one thing that I think is so important is to always meet people where they are. You never look at yourself as beyond the people that you serve. And in today's society, when I listen to younger folk can do so much for us, because within the next 10 years, if you look at the trend, that millennials will run our country, that most older people will, their bosses will be a millennial. And so what we have to do is that we sort of have to build those relationships and to build those bridges, and so that there is a bridge to cross. But when you build a bridge, you build a bridge from each side, but you build it at the same sequence. And so whenever that bridge connects, that it can withstand whatever turbulence, whatever weather, whatever weight goes on that bridge, that we should be able to meet and we should be able to cross. So the younger generation should always be able to go to the older generation. The older generation should always be able to cross that bridge to go to the younger generation. And so we have so many gaps that are out there. But this is why I always believe in developing the younger generation, because we have to be able to use our collective power. We have to be able to use our collective wisdom, because there is so much that we offer each other in order for us to move forward. I look at the older generation as being the, as them being the tires that they are going to roll. But I look at the millennial and the younger generation as being that balance that you have to put on each tire in order for it to roll, in order for it to roll smoothly. And so we need each other. We complement each other. That balance is a very small object that has to go on every tire in order for it to roll properly. And so we overlook the very small things that will help us to actually travel better, throughout this journey that we are going to, have to face. Because we are getting ready to face some challenging times, and we don't need to be in different foxholes. We need to be able to go back to the way that things were when we look back at Dr. King's era. We have separated. We have abandoned so many things that worked for us. If you look at the struggles that our grandparents, our great-grandparents went through, our great-great-grandparents, they weren't divided. They knew the importance of if we could just stick together, we can get through anything. You go back to, when I was growing up, the neighbors could discipline you. I don't care if they were young or old. You knew military folks in our community. You knew the educators in our community, whether if they were old or young, but we had something that connected us together, and that was each other. And somehow, some way, sometimes we allow a position to take us out of position. Sometimes we allow education to take us out of position. We allow us being somewhere to where we may get to a certain point, and we look around and we don't see people that look like us that may take us out of position. But what we need to do is that we need to come into perfect alignment with each other through Christ, because no matter what we do, we have to have three things. Well, four things. We have to have God, Christ, Holy Spirit, but we have to have each other to work in sequence with that. And so when we can bring our community back to where it needs to be at, and we can't have a community unless we have the old community and the middle community and the younger community and our youth that is coming beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law was here with us last night. We didn't want her. We got up and we took breakfast for her. We served her. We didn't want her to even remove her plate from the table. And I said, Mom, you always said that every generation ought to do better than the next generation. She was saying, son, I was saying financially. And my wife and I said at the same time, no, it goes beyond the financial. It goes into serving the community, that we ought to be able to serve better in every community, in every generation, that we should be able to serve each other. And we have got to learn how to look at each other as human beings. When we can look at each other as God's creation, we should be able to love each other. We should be able to want the best for everybody. And that means your family is my family. Your child is my child, because we have so much to offer. And when I look at the younger generation, I was on a call recently with the young professionals with the Urban League, and it's just so much talent that is out there. I wish that I had 100 of me that can just go in and just mentor and work and listen and help develop to actually get the younger generation, because you guys are going to take over these offices. We can't do it all. We cannot do it all, and you guys have to have a place at the table. If you guys need help, it's not for us to point a finger at you. It's for us to help develop you to get you to where you can become stronger. And so that's why I always try to, give wisdom wherever I can give it at. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what party you are. It's about developing the overall human being.
Absolutely.
And so, and that's who I am.
Absolutely. Well, Sheriff Countryman, we thank you so much for your time today, being here with us. I 100% agree with everything that you've said. And as long as we have that respect for everyone that's involved and at the table and engaged and working together, then we will go a long way. But one thing is for sure is tomorrow will come, whether or not we individually will be a part of that day. Tomorrow will come, and we should never fail to prepare for tomorrow. So thank you again so much, Sheriff Countryman. I'm going to have you back on to actually talk about the office itself. But today was about you, sir. Today was to honor you as our last Black History Month spotlight for the 2021 year. You're well deserving of it. It's certainly protocol demands that we acknowledge what you have accomplished. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to dust it with white powder. We're not going to do anything. We're going to let it be what it is. Let the main thing be the main thing, as one of our friends like to say. So, Sheriff Countryman, thank you so much, sir. And God bless you and God bless your family.
All right, you too. Take care.
Yes, sir. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Thank you so much for joining us. And as we hosted today, Sheriff Greg Countryman. And I hope that you will join us next week. Next week, we will start our Women History Month series, and we will acknowledge women here locally throughout our region that are doing amazing things. You don't want to miss it. Take care.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations, send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.